Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. In 13 days, it will be Christmas Eve. And about a half hour before the 4 p.m. special family service, parents will be helping kids and toddlers find just the right costume for our annual Christmas pageant. So in front of the church will be a few adults trying to maintain some semblance of order as kids try on angel wings, shepherd cloaks, and sheep outfits to put over their Christmas finery. Our pageant may seem zoo-like. We do have a lion in assorted animal costumes. I remember 3 years ago, a little boy dressed up as a lion jumped in front of the manger, scattering those precious little lambs. Sometimes Christmas harmony can be momentarily suspended when animal actors need to be separated. But I assume whomever gets to be Mary and Joseph is not something left to the last minute. These roles need to be taken by older, mature kids, able to maintain their composure in the sprawling tableau of children who are cows and donkeys, angels, shepherds, and a lion. So I don't know if there's ever been a perfect Christmas pageant, and I hope there never will be. Last year, I held my breath as I watched one of the cardboard backdrops sway back and forth as kids leaned on a painted stable scene, assuming it was as sturdy as a wall. Yes, I do not need a perfect Christmas pageant. I always hope something special happens by accident. But the Christmas event was not an accident. God humbled himself and became one of us. The humility of God is the incarnation. Yet today's gospel does not offer images of a young family on a holy journey on the way to Bethlehem. Christmas pageants are based on stories from Matthew and Luke. If we tried to do a Christmas pageant on the Gospel of John, we would have just one character. It would therefore feature one child speaking one line in front of a black velvet curtain. And that child would be proclaiming, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." So using the Gospel of John would constitute great savings and energy in the costume department, but parents and children would probably feel shortchanged because the usual menagerie of animals and characters would be missing. So we don't use the Gospel of John for a Christmas pageant, but we could and should use it for our Advent pageant. And that is what we have in today's gospel, an Advent scene with one character. So verse 6 begins, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him." Yet in actuality, John would not have liked the spotlight to be left on him. That was the point of his life. He came to prepare the way for Jesus. He was a humble man. He is one of the few characters in the Bible where we have a description of his lifestyle. And we heard it in last week's gospel from Mark. He was dressed in camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. What the gospels didn't say was that he was homeless, and he looked it. John gave up a comfortable life, a conventional diet and clothing, and the acceptable style of preaching for an unorthodox approach and proclamation. All this in order to announce the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh among us. He believed in why he was on earth. John believed in his purpose with a reckless kind of single-minded passion. Yet John did not seek a prominent position. When authorities pressed him to say something about himself, he declared who he was not. He was not the Messiah. But he did say he was a voice in the wilderness, calling out, "Make straight the way of the Lord." So the greatness of John was his humility and self-forgetfulness. He did have a lot of people that came out to hear him in the desert. Lots of people. Yet he didn't rally them around himself. He stuck to his vocation, hoping others would recognize Jesus when he came. Talk about ego detachment. So what can we learn from this strange man of extremes? Surely none of us are meant to carry a message like John had to, or do we? I have seen a commercial lately on TV about people looking for something. They don't really seem to care about what they're looking for or where they have put it, but they keep looking anyway in a half-hearted way. The voice in the commercial says they have lost their motivation, their passion, and they don't know where they left it. Recharging our motivation as a Christian, as a believer in the Christ event, is an Advent project for all of us. Now, John's job was to prepare the way for Christ. Our job is a little different because Jesus has already come. So the invitation for Advent is to awaken us to that deep reality, to renew, recharge, rekindle a passion for God's peace on earth. It is our turn to testify to the light. And like John, we each have a call, and we each will be given the grace to fulfill our call. For as we heard in our second reading, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. So how do you feel called? Have you come to discern your purpose? The main work God has for you to carry out in your lifetime. John had a voice, and he used it to preach, to bear witness, and in doing so was a messenger of hope. So becoming a messenger of hope is something we can do and learn from John. We need to make choices that by our manner of speech and actions, we testify to hope, testify to the light of Christ that is our way. Once upon a time, there was a country where people never lifted their heads. They did not seem to have hope. They always looked down, just in front of them. Yet every person in this country spent their whole life searching for the highest tower on earth. Of course, no one ever saw the tower because no one ever lifted their head. They were never happy. They were always restless as they made their way looking down and arguing with each other which way to go for the highest tower on earth. Now one day someone new came into town, and his name was John. He saw a large crowd looking down at a reflection in the lake and went over to join them. They were excited because they saw a reflection of a large tower in the lake. Some even jumped into the lake trying to catch the reflection. But in their excitement and in the commotion of it all, they knocked down John. When the crowd cleared, John was on his back. He found he was looking straight ahead at the tower in the distance. So he tried to tell the people looking down at him that it was right over there. But they thought he was mad and wouldn't believe him and walked away, looking down at the ground. As they walked on, they passed signs that showed the way to the tower. My friends, it is our turn to show the way for others. It is our turn to look up, our turn to testify to the light, be signs of God's presence, be messengers of hope. We each have a purpose. It is not to spend our life looking down on the ground, but to be amongst those that are used by God to help others lift their heads in hope and to see the light. So when Christmas Eve comes, we will have spotlights on our Christmas pageant. And when the service ends and the kids have returned their costumes, the church lights will go off. May that remind us, it is up to us to carry the light out into the world. For the real life drama of peace is on us. God has important roles for each of us, no matter how old or young we are. We have a purpose. It includes being a messenger of hope. So in this third week of Lent, know that this is a precious time to renew who you are. Like John, we are witnesses to the light of Christ and a voice in the wilderness of this 21st century. So enter this living Advent pageant. Take time to nurture your God-given humanity so you can embody the light. Take a deep breath and pray. Christ of Advent, slow me down. Slow me down. This is my precious time to remember who I am. Christ of Advent, recharge my light. Recharge my light. Amen.